Well, thank the Lord. Let's look in our Bibles together, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11, we'll begin our reading together. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God will bless his word. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that these words would come true in our lives. Lord, if there's ever been a day where children of God need to be strengthened by thy might in our inner man, it's today. Weakness abounds, Father. You know that. Powerless Christians, powerless preaching, powerless churches. Lord, not enough power and strength in lives to overcome the simplest of problems, and definitely not the strongholds of sin. We need your help, Lord. We need you to strengthen us. We pray as the apostles did, as the early church did, Lord, that you would grant unto thy servants boldness. And Lord, we pray that we would find the confidence that we need to live our lives for thee. And Lord, we pray you would ever remind us tonight of the access that comes with being born again, being in your family. And encourage our hearts with these things and make them a reality in our daily lives. We'll thank you, Lord, and we'll praise you for that help. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Two times he mentions the eternal purpose in Christ. You know, I'm glad I've got something to live for. I'm glad I have a reason to live, and my reason to live is God has a purpose for my life. You know, it's a great thing to have a purpose in life. You know how many people just are going through life just sort of trying to find themselves? And they can't find themselves. They don't know why they're here. They don't know where they're going. They have no reason for being here in their minds. And that, what's the use? What's the purpose? But if you're saved, if you're born again, you have a great purpose. And God has given you that purpose. It's an eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know how that purpose ends? Look at the last verse of the chapter in verse 21, Ephesians 3. It says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout ages, world without end. Amen. For eternity. You know what's going to happen? The purpose of God is that God is going to get the glory that he deserves. And that's the eternal purpose, that all things will be delivered back unto God, and God would get the credit for it, and God would get the glory for it. And if our purpose is not to bring glory to God, then no wonder we find ourselves just flailing around in life, not knowing what we're doing, where we're going, and can't find direction or can't find stability. We have a purpose. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, you know the verses, in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his what? His purpose. And then he goes on and tells us what that purpose is. That whom he did predestinate, he also called. Whom he called, he glorified, or he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. But he said in verse 29, to be conformed to the image of his son. Because when we're conformed to the image of his son, that brings glory to God. When you live the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, when his life is lived through you, it brings glory to Jesus. And when we live the life of the flesh, when we live our own life, when we do our own thing and we go our own ways, we're not bringing glory to God. When we're trying to, and I tell you what, the more you try to find purpose in yourself, that hedonistic lifestyle of just, you know, what I can get out of life and what I can enjoy, that the end of that is just a total pessimistic view. It's a nihilistic view that everything ends and there's, why? What was the reason? What was the use? I come to the end of my life and what was the purpose of it? Well, if you're saved, you have an eternal purpose. And it doesn't stop at your life. It continues on into eternity. I'm glad that for all eternity, I will be able to bring glory to God because He saved me, you see. And forever and forever, I can give praise back to the God that created me and the Lord that died for me. And the purpose of my life right now is the same purpose my life will be when I get on the shores of heaven, is to give Him the eternal glory that He deserves. And God says what He wants in the church, He wants glory in the church. He deserves glory in the church. That's our purpose. The purpose is not, you know, build some empire for our own name or have some life that we can be proud of or others can be proud of for us. Our purpose is to point our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ so that He could get glory. You know, the Bible, the only thing that got Daniel through, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. You know why Daniel purposed in his heart? Because he knew he had a purpose. He knew that there was a reason that he was there. He was there for God. He was there because God put him there. And therefore, because he had a purpose, he could purpose in his life to do what God wanted him to do. And a lot of times people don't have, as we're going to get to our text here, and our theme of this passage and the message, the reason we don't have boldness and access or have that confidence of access is because we've lost sight of our purpose. Our purpose in life isn't to be pretty. Our purpose in life isn't to be rich. Our purpose in life is not to be liked. Our purpose in life is to bring glory to God. And he's trying to point these Ephesians to that because they are in need of strength. You know, Paul said this. He said, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life." And he goes on through there and he says, purpose. You knew what my purpose was in life. If I asked you, I know this is an introspective question. It's not a psychological thing, but it's a good question. If you had to write down, what is the purpose for your life? Why are you living? Why are you doing what you're doing? What's the purpose for me being in church tonight? Well, I'm supposed to do it. Well, that's a good reason. But there's a better reason. Well, I'm in church tonight because I want to learn. That's a great reason. But there's another reason. Well, I'm in church because I want to be a good testimony to my family and I want to keep them in church. That's a great reason. That's for other people to get help. But there's a better reason. And that is, I'm in church because I know that brings glory to God. It brings pleasure to God. God likes me to be in church. God likes me to pray. God likes me to witness. God enjoys me living the life that He's told me to live. And my life ought to bring glory to Him. That's some purpose. Why am I here? What am I doing here? Where's my direction in life? I have a purpose. And it's to bring Him glory and honor. And however He can get that and however He wants that, that'll be all right. So He says, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have a purpose in Christ. But then look at verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. In verse 3, in verse 11, I see purpose in Christ. But in verse 12, I see faith in Christ. Now listen, the only way that I can have boldness and confidence in my life is by faith in Jesus Christ. Mark it down. When a Christian does not have confidence and boldness and thinks that he does not have access to all the promises of God and all the riches of God and all the fellowship of God, when a Christian is doubting that, it's because their faith is weak. Our boldness and our access and our confidence is linked in our faith in Christ. Not our faith in ourselves. Oh, when the disciples said increase our faith, that's something that we can pray all the time. We need faith on every side. Faith to live, faith to give, faith to go forward for God. And he's saying, by the faith of him, by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to live my life. Not by the success of my nation, not by my circumstance, but by the faith of him. My faith looks up to thee. I'm looking to you, Lord. And the reason that many times God's people lose in this area of confidence and boldness is because they're looking at themselves, or their eyes are upon themselves, or circumstances or things in life, instead of their eyes being upon the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Have faith in God, as the Bible says. Look at these words with me. Boldness. Boldness. What is boldness? Boldness is courage. It's bravery. It's fearlessness. Boldness is something that the world will not appreciate with a Christian. Matter of fact, this world does not even equate boldness with Christianity. When the world looks at Christianity, they look at these weak people that, you know, sort of lower their heads and don't say much. And, you know, that's not the testimony of Christianity. It shouldn't be. It wasn't the testimony of Jesus Christ. According to Ephesians chapter 3, God wants you to have boldness. Now, if you say, well, I'm not a very bold person. Well, that's all right. God can give it to you anyway. I'm not a righteous person, but God can give me that. What does the Bible say in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1? You ought to know this verse. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. In other words, the wicked are afraid of something that's not even there. Remember when we were all going to die, a bird flew? Well, we didn't all die. Remember when we were all going to die at Y2K? And we were going to die when they were going to put an EMP over the country. Oh, it's still coming. Jim Baker will sell you land in Arkansas if you want it. People just live in fear. Boldness. The Bible says the wicked flee when nobody's pursuing. You know how dumb it is to be scared when there's nothing to be scared about? It's like a little child in the bedroom, you know, that's scared that somebody's in the room because the lights got turned on. Well, you turn the lights on, you take the child around the room, you look under the bed, and there's nothing there. And you turn the light back off, and, well, I think there's something there. You know what God says? The Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. The reason that people are so filled with fear is because their faith is not rooted in God. You know, I've said this before, God can protect your children better than you can. God can protect me better than I can protect me. Don't be afraid of something that's not there. God is able to protect you. Are there things that we need to be wise about? Absolutely. But the Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But then it says, well, we'll say the rest of the verse, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I like to watch, you know, I'm not really an animal person, but I like to watch lions through a screen. I have no desire to get in the personal presence of a lion. They say just the roar of a lion will freak you out, you know. You can't run from a lion. You can't fight a lion. A lion is bold. A lion's not afraid. I mean, they'll attack, you know, something that's five times their size and have no fear of doing it. The righteous are as bold as a lion. What kind of boldness? You say, well, and you know what, a lot of times I'm not bold because I don't live very right. Because, you know, it's hard to be bold for God when you're dirty. Now, ultimately, we know there's none righteous, but the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You know, just the fact that you've been saved by the grace of God, you ought to have some boldness. And we respect, in a sense, or we don't bring a railing accusation against the devil, but we're not to be afraid of the devil. Well, the devil's a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom may devour. That's right. But if you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you can be as bold as a lion right in front of Him. A lion against a lion. And Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I think He's a bigger lion. Amen. He's the alpha male. The devil's not in that category. So we ought to have boldness. You know, some Christians aren't bold enough to witness. Some Christians aren't bold enough to even be baptized. Some Christians aren't bold enough to go to an altar when God speaks to their heart. Some Christians don't have the boldness to stand up against their peers and say no to people. Some Christians aren't bold enough to be disliked. They don't have the strength to stick out for doing right or be different from others. But the Bible says, as God's people, God wants us to be bold. He wants us to have boldness. What I would say is inner strength. We're going to find where that comes from in just a second. But in about three areas, we need to have boldness. Would you go to John chapter 7? Let's read some Bible together here. Boldness. Now, boldness is not arrogance. Boldness is not rudeness. But I tell you what boldness is. It's courage. It's bravery. It's fearlessness. It doesn't cower in the face of opposition. Boldness. Do you have boldness? In John chapter 7, and with the other hand, go ahead and get Acts chapter 4, because we read several verses in the book of Acts. God wants you to be bold. He wants you to be brave. He wants you to have courage. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 26, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, but lo, he speaketh boldly. Watch it. And they say nothing unto him. You know why? They're afraid of him. Never a man spake like that. Go arrest him. And they come back. We can't arrest him. Why? And nobody ever spoke like that guy. No, he's got something different. We're not going to put our hands on the Lord Jesus Christ. The devils are even afraid of him. No, when he gets up and preaches and speaks, he speaks boldly. You know, we have such an effeminate generation that there is no even manliness anymore, not just not in the pulpit, but not even hardly in the country anymore. It seems to be disdain. Jesus was a man. He was bold. He wasn't cowering. He didn't say, now would you please, if you would, if it'd be all right, just a minute, would you listen to me? He didn't preach like that. He preached boldly. Because you don't have to apologize for the truth. You don't have to back up on the truth. The truth is applicable to all of us. It goes above all of the authority of any other authority of our lives. And the Bible says, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? This guy's got to be something special, because when he preaches boldly. Jesus was not an effeminate man. And he was not an effeminate preacher. He was a bold preacher and a bold man. And when he hung on the cross, he even kept his head up until he died. That's a man. A man that can be nailed to a cross and spear in his side and crown of thorns on his head and bleed and be beaten to a bloody pulp and have his head up and not bow his head till he dismisses his spirit. That's a man. He faced death boldly. He faced Pilate boldly. He faced Herod boldly. He faced Judas boldly. He faced the multitudes boldly. He faced the devil boldly. He preached boldly to all the multitudes. If you want to have characteristics of Jesus, one of the things the Bible shows us about him, he was bold. God doesn't glorify weakness. You say, well, I got weakness in my life. Well, let him be strong in you. Amen. That's our text. In weakness, I can be made strong. I can be made strong in the Lord. He can make me strong. He can make me bold. It's not by might or by my power. It's by his spirit, say the Lord. It's not weapons of our warfare are carnal. It's not my muscles. It's not my brawn. It's God that I have confidence in. Amen. And through him, I'm going to be bold, because this world needs to see a picture of him. Amen. And they'll not see a picture of him if there's not any bold Christians. I'm sick and tired of Christians apologizing for the truth. Don't apologize. You can be nice. You can be kind. But you can be straightforward and brave and say, this is the truth. Amen. Let's look at our example in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. And I'm telling you, the longer we go, even me preaching like this is going to be way out of style. We already have churches of even our stripe that hadn't heard a bold preached message in a month of Sundays. Amen. And the Bible illustration is we ought to speak boldly. Look at the text. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Why? Because they knew how bold he was. And they said, these two guys, they're talking just like him. They have got to have been with Jesus. Look at verse 29, Acts 4, 29. You say, I need boldness. Well, here's a verse for you. And now, Lord, they're praying right here. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. Notice, they're being threatened and they do not pray to God for deliverance from the threatening. You know what they pray to God for? Lord, they're threatening us. Give us boldness so we can still keep speaking up for you. Amen. What a prayer. What a spirit. What courage. What heart. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God wants us to speak His word with boldness. Speak it to our friends. Speak it to our neighbors. I've heard some say, well, I don't want to just say the truth to some of my friends or neighbors. I'm witness about the Lord. Hey, they can't get any more lost. They're already in the fire. There is, you have to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. But don't be afraid to speak the word of God to somebody. Just like Jesus said this morning in our message, ye must be born again. That's a bold thing to say to somebody that looks like he's on top of the world. Pray for it. God, I need boldness to speak up. You know, who was it that said silence is sometimes golden, but oftentimes yellow. And sometimes by the lack of boldness that we have, that we are afraid to say, we arrive at a society like we live in today because Christians would not stand up and say the truth. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts 9, 27. The Bible says in Acts 9, 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Here Saul's not been saved but a while and he's already preaching boldly. Verse 29, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. And right about there some people start backing up. You know, maybe we are so far outside of real Bible Christianity, we don't even know what it means to all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm telling you, when these people stood up boldly for the Lord, they paid a big price for it. But they didn't back up. They had courage. Acts chapter 14. Or Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 verse 46. Watch this. Just reading some Bible here. God wants you to be bold. You say, well, preacher, does God not want us to be kind? Yeah, but that's next time's message. That's Ephesians 4. You see, that's the great thing about the Bible. The Bible will give you everything you need. You do need tender heartedness, but you got to have boldness. And if you have the one without the other, you're messed up. Acts chapter 13, verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed what? Boy, I like that. Waxed bold. I don't even know what that means, but I like it. Just wax bold. Just get it all over you. Amen. They waxed bold and said it was necessary. And you know why? Look, they waxed bold in the face of what? Look at verse 45. The Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. They're blaspheming the message of the preacher. They're contradicting everything the preacher says. And you know what he said? He said, well, can we not have a conference and a council and work this thing out? No, he waxed bold. And he said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentile. The truth is still the truth, whether you like it or not. We want you to accept the truth, but if you don't, it's still right. Look at chapter 14, verse 3. Acts. It's all through the word of God, the example of the early church. Acts 14, verse 3. We would not have the moving of God in the book of Acts without the boldness of in God's people. And it was not that they were just some unusual people that were just, you know, all these big hulky people. No, God strengthened them. God put boldness in them because they asked for it. Acts 14, 3. Long time, therefore. How many people are afraid to even let the people they work with know they're Christian? They're afraid to even let the people that they're around know that they don't listen to cussing. They don't watch dirty movies. And they don't go to the bar. And they don't fornicate. They don't live. And they're ashamed to even let them know that. So they wind up being a secret disciple. Well, you can be a secret disciple, but it's not a good way to live. And you'll cower the rest of your life in the face of every adversity. Acts 14, verse 3, the Bible says, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. Long time. They didn't quit. They didn't get tired of speaking boldly for the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 19. I'm just going to keep reading here. Maybe we'll get some boldness. Acts 19, verse 8. Well, I tell you what, when I grew up, man, phew, God's people had a lot more boldness than they do today. Man, I remember in church as a little boy, and people that weren't even my daddy coming up to me and telling me what for. Amen. Amen. You cut that out. They didn't tiptoe to my parents and say, we got a little problem with Johnny, and could we talk about it? No, they just said, would you be quiet and sit down right there? You're out of line. Okay. And the preachers didn't get up and preach and say, well, let's take a poll. What does everybody believe? And we'll try to get in the middle of it. No, they just opened the Bible and read it back. Here we go. Amen. 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 The Bible said in Acts, where am I? Acts 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. You know how dangerous it is to go in the synagogue and speak boldly in the name of Jesus? Guys, I'm telling you what, you couldn't do anything worse than fly over to Afghanistan, amen, and walk into a mosque and start preaching. Man, I never forget, we're over there in Thessaloniki, Greece, and we'd already been there a while, and Brother Knox flew in. And Brother Knox flew in, we started preaching on the street and stuff, you know, and people were afraid to do that, and we just did it anyway because people need going to hell. They need to be saved. So we just preached and gave about the Word of God, you know. And then we walk around, and I thought, wow, you know, this is just great. It's wonderful. And Brother James one day, he said, we're preaching out there in this big open area, just hundreds and hundreds of people walking by, and behind us is this centuries-old Orthodox church. And Brother James said, I want to go in there. I said, all right. So we walk in there, and there's all these people lighting candles and praying to Mary and doing all this stuff, you know, and the priest is in there. And there's a platform at the end of the church. I mean, it's a humongous place. And Brother James walks up, and he walks up on the platform, and he says, I'd like to have your attention, please. I just want to let you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and He came down from heaven to redeem men from their sin, and neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and your priest can't get you to God and your church. And I said, oh my Lord, I've got to live here. They came out, the priest came out with his bodyguards, and I mean the people were just looking at it, and they came out, and he God just led him to finish his message, and he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And there's the bodyguards right there. And they says, you gotta go, we're throwing you out right now. And I thought, look, you know, It takes boldness to speak to somebody personally about Jesus Christ. It takes more boldness to go on the street corner and preach the gospel. It takes more boldness than that to preach in a foreign country in front of the people that want to stone you. But you know what kind of boldness it takes to walk into somebody's Orthodox church and preach? We walked out and I said, Brother James, you're crazy. He said, well, I just had to do it. He said, I just had to do it. I had to let him know. I said, Brother James, somebody walked in my church and tried to do that. But you know what? They won't do that. It would take the boldness of Paul to walk into the synagogue, Acts 19:8, and for 3 months dispute and persuade concerning the kingdom of God and speak boldly in there. Ephesians chapter 6. How's your boldness quotient tonight? Quit letting the devil run all over you. Hey, you know what, guys? The devil's crowd, they're not timid to put every blasphemy in the world on the radio and on the television screen. They're not timid of that at all. They're not timid to teach in our public school system some of the most vile things in the world. I saw this, how they're teaching in some school district somewhere requiring LGBTQRS to all the students to be taught. Everyone, it's a requirement. That's bold to take somebody else's kids to try to indoctrinate them. They're not going to back up. And so we need you. You know, I got out today and was hanging door hangers with my wife, and I got out of the car, and there's this dog, this nutso dog, just going crazy right in front of me. You know what happens when you turn around? You got to face the thing. Not, you want to track too? Right. The dogs even know when you're afraid. The devil knows when we're afraid. We need to have some courage. If you don't have it, pray for it. And that's just about speaking. It's not even about living. You got to have courage for life. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 19, Paul says in verse 18, he says, pray for me. And he says in verse 19, this is the prayer. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Look at it, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You would think this man that's going to endure prison, that's going to endure beating, that's going to endure martyrdom would say, hey, pray for me that God will get me out of my problems. But no, he said, pray for me that God will open a door and give me boldness to preach the word of God. What a spirit! If I'm going to go out, I want to go out with courage. I want to go out with bravery. I want to go out with fearlessness. I want to go out with confidence in my God. We're all leaving here. Philippians chapter 1, but you can leave here in boldness. Philippians chapter 1, the Bible says, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. We live in a generation, if the preacher got thrown in jail, it wouldn't give us more boldness, it'd give us less. But the early church, they threw Paul in jail and they said, well then let's just all go preach. They're going to throw him in jail, they'll just throw all of us in jail. That's the spirit. That's the stuff that made the early church go. God grant unto thy servants boldness. He also said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. With much contention. earnestly contend for the faith. That takes some boldness. When you're in a fight, you better have some boldness. Or the first time you get sucker punched, you're out. Oh, that hurt. Speaking of which, we have got to toughen up our kids. Amen. Toughen them up, man. Roll them around in the dirt. Tell them to shake it off. My partner out there, and who's the pastor now, the work we started and left with Brother MacDonald there in Mount Pleasant. He was trying to toughen his kids up. His little boy, he's wrestling with his little boy. And his little boy said, "Oh, Dad, you hurt me, you hurt me." They were just playing around. "Oh, you hurt me." I don't know, his boy's probably 10 years old. I don't know what he was. He said, "I'll tough it up." Well, that night the boy couldn't sleep. He got up the next morning and said, "Dad, it's worse. I can't." Well, okay, I guess we'll take you to the doctor. He broke his collarbone. He broke the kid's collarbone and he was telling him to toughen up. You say, "Oh, that's terrible." Not half as terrible as raising somebody that can't be tough enough to take the smallest of things. Hello? Because life is difficult. The kid's got to have some boldness to get through life. Got to have some strength. And he preached, he spoke bold in our God with much contention, much contention. He would not be invited to the ministerial association. Too bold. Too much power there. We need boldness in our speech. The second thing, we need boldness in our praying. You know, a lot of times we pray and we don't even believe what we're praying. Or we don't even believe that God's going to answer it anyway. We're just going through the motions anyhow. What does Hebrews 4:16 say? Let us boldly come into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He tells us the same thing in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, that we need to approach God in a bold fashion, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. God wants you to pray with boldness. And he wants you to look at your future with boldness. Get 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, while you're turning there, I'll quote to you another verse in Hebrews. 1 John chapter 4. And Hebrews 13, the Bible says in verse 6, so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We can have boldness for the future and boldness no matter what anybody else's attitude or circumstance in life. We can have boldness and not fear what man will do unto us. You say, "Well, man can do a lot of things to us." Well, that doesn't mean you have to be afraid of it. 1 John, the Bible says, chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. God wants you to have boldness for the future. He doesn't want, look, he doesn't want God's people to be worried about the judgment. Hey, you know what? All that's already settled for me. I know I'm going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And there are some things about the judgment seat of Christ that bring a lot of caution in my life. But I don't have terror. I have boldness. Look, I know that when I die, everything's going to be all right. Boldness in the day of judgment. Why? He paid for it. I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And whatever my problem is before God, he's going to take care of it. Because he said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. If God the Father kicked me out of heaven, he'd have kicked Jesus out with me. Because Jesus said, I'll always be with him. And he'd never leave me. What boldness in God. Look back at our text. How am I going to get that? Well, we already gave you a hint. You can pray for it. But I want you to drop down to verse 16 of our text. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. How do you get boldness? How do you get that inward strength? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Watch it. That he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. God's got to give you strength on the inside or you won't have any. God's got to grant it to you. He has to give it to you. And notice what that strength is and where that boldness comes from. Strengthened with might. That's why he said over there in chapter 6, verse 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We have no strength. For when we were out without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. We have no strength. But He has all power in heaven and earth. And He can put that power down in me. He can put that strength in me. He can put that might in me. He says to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. You want to know why weakness prevails in the body of Jesus Christ? Because people that name the name of Christ do not have a close fellowship with the Spirit of God. I tell you what, when God first filled me with the Spirit of God as a young boy, when I put my life on the altar, and I got up off that altar, and I went home that afternoon, and I got my little New Testament, amen, as a 14-year-old boy, and I got my tracts. Nobody told me to. It wasn't a church activity. And I went down to the projects, the apartments across from my house down there, and I started knocking on doors and going to all the people, telling those little boys and girls about Jesus, and I was just a teenager. I'd never done that in all my life unless I'd gone on the bus with all the rest of the people. You say, what happened? God filled me with His Spirit and I wasn't afraid anymore. And I used to get up the platform, you know, and I'd cower down, try to preach a little message, scared to death, mumble around like a little girl. Hard to imagine that, isn't it? Hard to imagine red hair and glasses and freckles. Just slobbering around, you know, mumbling around. You say, what's the difference? You know, the Spirit of God will change you. Amen. It'll make you talk like you wouldn't normally talk. It'll make you live like you wouldn't normally live. And when this Bible says be filled with the Spirit, it's not just a doctrine. It's something you need to be seeking for. Oh, God, don't let the power of the fullness of the Spirit die with a generation of God's people. If these young people are going to have the courage and the boldness and the strength against the wiles of the devil and in this evil day, they have got to get in touch with the Holy Ghost. And if you're going to be able to defeat the wiles of the devil, and if you're going to be able to be the Christian God wants you to be, you've got to get in touch with the Holy Ghost. It's not just a little dabble do your religion. It's not just a 1, 2, 3 Christianity. It's God, fill my life and lead my life and control my life because I'm strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Not by my education, not by my morality, not by my goodness, not by my personality. I get strength from the Holy Ghost. And he says it's in the inner man. You see that? Now listen. The inner man can never be strong if the outer man's not weak. When the flesh is strong, you're never strong on the inside. You can never be spiritually strong if you are fleshly strong. If your flesh is controlling you, if you're walking after the flesh, you can't have boldness, you can't have strength, you can't have power to live the Christian life because your flesh is running your life. That's why we need to put the flesh to death and mortify our members which are up on earth and crucify the flesh. Why? So this outward man will be put off and the inward man will be renewed. And the inward man will be strengthened. That's where that boldness comes from. Look at our verse in chapter 3. He says in verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not. Well, you will faint if you don't have strength in the inner man. If you're not strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, if you don't have some boldness and confidence, you will faint. And notice that he's afraid that they're going to faint at his tribulations, not theirs. Look up here. You know, some people can take bad things happening to them, but they can't take it happening to somebody they love. Are you with me? He said, I don't want you to faint because of the tribulations that are happening to me. You put your confidence in me. You love me. I led you to Christ. And I'm going through all this. And I don't want you to faint because of me and what I'm going through. I don't want you to be discouraged. How can we get by? We've got to get that strength on the inside. Men ought always to pray and faint not, Jesus said. Proverbs 24:10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. When we faint, we prove we didn't have any strength to begin with. Galatians 6:9 says, and be not weary in well-doing. Look, he doesn't say, don't faint in well-doing. He says, don't even be weary. You ever get weary doing right? You ever get weary being the husband you're supposed to be? You ever get weary being the mother or the wife you're supposed to be? You ever get weary being the father you're supposed to be or the Christian you're supposed to be? You ever get tired of being the servant of God? You ever get weary? The command is not to quit. The command is don't even get weary. Oh, I'm tired. If we're not careful, we'll say that so much to each other, we'll start believing it. Oh, I'm so tired. Instead of saying, man, I'm so energized. Let's go do some work. I'm so excited. I'm worn out. Everybody today's worn out. Right? We're all worn out. And the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. If you faint not. In other words, if you faint, you're not going to get a crop you could have gotten in your life. If you faint. And so, if you don't want to faint, don't even be weary. You see that? You'll never get to the faint if you never get weary. Well, how can I not be weary? You get strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You get strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. And pray and get some boldness to keep going. Amen. You know, I tell you what, if there ever was a generation that should have said, I'm tired, it was those people that lived back in the 30s. But I've read a lot of books from some of those past generations, and I don't get that spirit. I mean, all that crowd that went out into the wild, wild west, you know, and conquered the other half of America. You ever read some of that stuff? You talk about hard. They had some spunk. They had some might. They had some strength. They had some resolve. They had some courage. We're the spoiled generation. We're the baby generation. We're the marshmallow generation. Well, pray, say, God, strengthen me. Strengthen me down in here. I don't want to faint. People faint all around you. The Bible tells us, consider Jesus, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says this, therefore, having received this ministry, we faint not. We can't faint. There are too many people counting on us not to faint. We can't faint. There are people that aren't going to get help from God if we faint. There are people that aren't going to get the example of God if we faint. He said, for our light affliction is but for a moment. And though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And I'm not going to faint, Paul says, though the weight of the world is on my shoulders. Man, I tell you what, that's some Christianity we need. Go back to our text. I don't know how I'm going to finish all this, but we'll try to get through it. Ephesians 3, real quick. He says in verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access. You have access. Access in the Bible is only mentioned three times. Once here and once in chapter 2, verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. The third reference is found in Romans 5, 2. That says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All three times the Bible mentions access. It all has to do with the person of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means there's no access without Jesus. Jesus is the only one that gives you access to God, access to the Father, access to anything that's truth or right. He's our only ticket in. Amen. And because of Him, we've been born again, as we saw this morning. And look at your text in verse 15 of Ephesians 3. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Because we've been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been placed into the family of God. And when you're in the family, you have access. It doesn't matter if you're in the family up in heaven or you're in the family down on the earth, you're still in the family. Nobody goes home and knocks on their own door to get in. I'll never forget Brother Earl Hughes preaching that. It just fired me up. He said, when you go home tonight, are you going to knock on the door? Are you a stranger in your own house? No, it's your house. Do you get permission to go into your bedroom at night? No, because it belongs to you. You're part of the family. Do your children have to say, Dad, can we please go in the house tonight? You know how ludicrous that is? No, they have access to the house. Why? They're in the family. They can go to any room they want to go into. They can enjoy all, get in the cupboards, amen. Open up the refrigerator. Make themselves at home. Kick their shoes off because they got access to the house because they're in the family. I'm glad I'm in the family of God. And I have access through Jesus Christ to all that's in the Father's house. Don't even have to knock. I'll just go right into glory. I don't have to knock. When I pray, I don't even have to knock. I'm in the family. When I get to heaven, there'll be no, who are you? It's just, that's where I belong. That's my family. You know, that Old Testament references are so dear when it said, Isaac and Jacob and all those guys, they gave up the ghost and they were gathered unto their people. I like that. They went to all the rest of their people were. They went to where their family was. Well, we got a big family. Some of them are all going on ahead. But never forget, you've got access to God because we're in a big family. And the last word he said in verse 12 was confidence. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Now, confidence is a little bit different than boldness. Confidence is trusting assurance of mind. In other words, boldness is inward strength, whereas confidence is a Godward assurance. You see, confidence isn't confidence in you, it's confidence in somebody else. Boldness is you have enough inward strength to step out there on a limb. Confidence is I've got assurance that God is going to take care of this. I've got confidence in God. The Bible talked about Paul's preaching and teaching in Acts 28:31. He preached and he taught the Word of God with confidence. The world hates that. The world hates somebody just saying, this is the truth, and I'm confident in it. You know, Brother Jack Wood, he used to say to the preachers he trained, he said, you got to have confidence in preaching, and you got to have confidence in your preaching. Now that sounds a little blunt, sounds a little off, but it's not. It's I'm having confidence that God is going to let me preach, and God is going to help me to serve Him and say what I need to say and be what I need to be and communicate through His power. Confidence in God to do whatever He wants me to do. Confidence in God to work in Bible school, amen. Confidence in God to be the parent you need to be. Confidence in God to be the witness you need to be. Confidence in God to be the Sunday school teacher or to be the young person. Confidence in God to fill the role that God has for you. Trusting Him, having assurance that He is going to see you through in this thing. You know, not just in service, but we got to have confidence in each other even. Now, the Bible does say that, but put no confidence in the flesh. But He also says, Galatians 5:10, He said, I have confidence in you through the Lord. He says in 2 Thessalonians 3:4, confidence in the Lord touching you. He even told the Corinthians, He said, I have confidence in you in all things. I've never said that. Not with that church. But Paul had such confidence in God that he knew God was going to work in that church. You know, when you got a question mark about everything and everybody, that's not the way the Christian life is supposed to be lived. You need to have confidence in life. He says, we are confident, I say. and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Confident in death. We're confident knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But I'm confident whether I'm here or whether I'm going to die, I'm confident. I've got assurance in God. God wants you to have confidence. Being confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if our heart condemn us, you know, a lot of times our heart condemns us and we lose our confidence. It says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You know, if you let the emotions get the better part of you, instead of letting the Spirit of God get in control of you, you might lose your confidence. Listen to this verse. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You know why some people, they prayed the sinner's prayer a million times and asked God to save them, and they just don't think it ever took. You know what the problem is? The problem is not with the plan of salvation. The problem is with people just not having confidence that God would do what He said He would do. Well, I don't know if I'm saved now. Well, do you have confidence that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Or do you not have confidence that God is able to do what He said He would do? Well, my heart's condemned me. I don't know. Do you have more confidence in your feelings? Do you have more confidence in the way you feel? Is your confidence in your marriage built on feelings? Or is your confidence in your marriage built on God and what's right and what's true? We need confidence in a God that is bigger than our heart and bigger than our feelings and bigger than our world and bigger than our circumstances. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Confidence in your praying. Go back to Ephesians 3 and I'll wrap it up. He said in verse 14, how's your confidence level? Well, I don't have confidence. Everybody's looking at me and I can never do it right enough and I can never please everybody. Quit getting on that pity party and have confidence in God. I'm going to do the best I can for God. I'm confident that God will help me do the best that I can. Oh, amen. You know, teenagers do that. Well, what are they going to think about me? I don't know. No confidence. But Christians live that way. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do right. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to live for Him. And you'll get that with confidence also on your knees. Watch this, and I'll be finished. Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I need that boldness, I'm getting on my knees. Because I need that access, I'm getting on my knees and humbling myself. Because I need that confidence, I'm getting on my knees. Because I don't want to faint and don't want anybody else to faint, I'm getting on my knees. Because I know that I'm a part of the family, I'm going to get on my knees. And because I need that strength and that might by the Spirit in the inner man, I'm getting on my knees. I'm bowing my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How long has it been since you've got on your knees? How long has it been since you've humbled your heart and reached out up for that strength? Psalm 695 verse 6 says, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. You know what the inference is? That hard hearts can't kneel. Hard hearts can't humble themselves and acknowledge, yes, Lord, I need your strength. Boldness, access, confidence. You get it on your knees. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight.